Recording this early Monday morning, October 23rd, with some thoughts on what we saw and what we may see going forward, NFL-wise, what we saw Sunday, looking ahead at the NFC South. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Pin Chasers, Tampa Bay's best place to enjoy bowling, food, and fun. To make it even easier to have fun, download the Pin Chasers Extra app to make reservations, order food, track scores, and earn cash back on every purchase. 10% back every time you visit. For more information, go to pinchasers.net and start having fun. Be alert for, and as Benny Hill would say, be alert. We need all the alerts we can get for the next Bone Bowling Night with my friend Drew Garabo. Listen to Drew Garabo Live 2 to 6 on 102.5 The Bone in Tampa Bay for more details on Drew's next Bone Bowling Night. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. If you are a male in the state of Florida that has been paying permanent alimony, Brandon Legal Group can help you stop paying permanent alimony, because as of July 1st, 2023, permanent alimony does not exist in the state of Florida. Get in front of a judge. Stop paying permanent alimony. It is now the law that you don't pay permanent alimony in the state of Florida. Brandon Legal Group can help. 813-902-3576. Or for a free consultation, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Again, it's early Monday morning, but for those that watched a pretty bad game, just because a game has an exciting finish doesn't mean it's a great game. If nothing else, Falcons-Bucks seemed a battle of who wants it less, based on the mistakes made by both teams, the inability of the Falcons to put the game away, the inability of the Buccaneers to do many things, including win the game late by finishing a drive after a Baker Mayfield scramble, kind of reminded me of, you know, some of what the Bills do, where when all else fails, Josh Allen just scrambles and suddenly the drive keeps going. And Baker Mayfield did that. And then what, two incompletions, a sack, have to kick a field goal. There's still time left. Falcons go down. Koo kicks a game winner to save the Falcons. Saints on Thursday night looked dreadful against the Jacksonville Jaguars in a home game. Two losses in a row for the Saints, considered by many to be the favorite in the division after signing free agent quarterback David Carr, not me. Although I believe the Panthers were kind of on the outside looking in and could be better, drafted their new franchise quarterback, three potential head coaching candidates all working on the same staff, Caldwell doing some work on the offense, Evero coordinating the defense, Frank Reich, former offensive mind, with the Philadelphia Eagles, had some success with the Colts with various quarterbacks until this latest. I mean, he's on a nine-game, I've talked about this, Frank Reich's on a nine-game personal losing streak as a head coach across two calendar years, two different franchises, quarterbacks he didn't pick, quarterbacks he did pick, and during the bye week, don't know if you know, I mean, we'll go team by team here. He announced he was giving up play calling to his offensive coordinator. And the offensive coordinator is not Caldwell, who is, you know, was brought on to be sort of an analyst consultant type to alleviate the day-to-day. Kind of Jim Caldwell's attitude: if no one's going to hire me to be a head coach, I'm not going to work that hard. I can respect that. So the NFC South last year was the worst division in football. So each team, each organization did some things to try to get better for this year. Some had more to work with than others. The Bucks didn't. Can't make this any more clear. From a salary cap standpoint, the Bucks had $2 for every $3 that pretty much every other team had. Now, it's not quite that simple, but it's damn close, because the Bucks were paying off the debt that they ran up to win a Super Bowl and to try to win, get to and win a second one. It worked for one. That's what you play for. You play for championships, and they're to be commended for that. They took the entire Tom Brady salary cap hit in 1 year. They could have split it up and taken only part of the hit this year, and then the majority of the hit in 2024. They did. Let's get it over with. Just pay it. Pay the debt. No minimum payment. Pay it all. And there was other dead money in there. So they had limited resources, which is also why they invest in Baker Mayfield on a base salary of what? $4 million for a starting NFL quarterback, an experienced one, with a lot of incentives. The Falcons had more financial resources, went out and signed a ton of defensive guys, loaded up on the defensive side of the ball. The Saints spent their money on a new quarterback. They're averse to playing Jameis Winston, even though he's still on the team, which is kind of interesting. The Andy Dalton thing didn't work. Didn't do the draft pick, move around. They drafted Ian Book out of Notre Dame, and forget where he is now, bouncing around. Panthers did, said, let's go get our franchise quarterback in Bryce Young. That's not working. Granted, it's very early, and they've been trying to simplify some language, some pre-snap stuff, because Bryce seems a little paralysis by analysis with what's going on in Carolina. The division also lost Tom Brady. Can we all agree? The reason the Buccaneers were the winners of this division in 2022 and the only team to make the playoffs from this division in 2022 was Tom. Now, for those of you who want to knock that down, I'm going to give it to you in even simpler terms. There were the four worst teams last year through three quarters of every game. Okay, so this is if the game ended after three quarters. The four teams with the fewest wins last year were Colts, Texans, and I believe Bears. Colts, Texans, Bears. The fourth was Tampa Bay. The good part was Tom Brady took over in the fourth quarter. Those other teams didn't have Tom Brady. And Tom Brady won four more games in the fourth quarter. You can probably remember them on your own. Where also, Byron Leftwich isn't in his ear. Byron Leftwich, by the way, still unemployed. There are a lot of bad coordinators that even after they're bad and held accountable and fired for their performance at the major college and major pro level, and they get the same coordinator job somewhere else. Your best example is someone I talked about in a repost last week of this podcast, how bad Todd Orlando sucked, being fired from three jobs the previous 4+ years, and USF hires him. He's Alex Golish's first hire. And UAB and who? FAU put back-to-back 56 burgers on Todd Orlando. Yeah, Byron Leftwich is so bad, not an offensive coordinator anywhere, not a quarterback coach anywhere, not an offensive assistant anywhere. So Brady didn't have to worry about Byron calling plays, just let's go. Or as Brady would say, excuse me, LFG, let's effing go. So no Brady, we removed that from the division. Okay, someone has to win it. Here to say through 7 weeks. Yeah, it's not only as bad as it was last year. You remove Brady, it's worse. Falcons spent money on defensive talent, drafted the top running back, and are not using that top running back. The explanation from the genius Arthur Smith, as a friend of mine in Atlanta said, oh, he's a genius, just ask him. Bijan wasn't feeling that great. Not disclosed on the injury report. Nothing pregame. Kind of like What was wrong with Jalen Hurts? Nothing on the injury report. Huh? What's going on here? You're supposed to disclose those things. Even in the hockey playoffs, the coach says lower body injury, upper body injury, acknowledges it. So let's just look at the standings through 7 weeks, right? Can we all agree we don't see a Super Bowl contender through 7 weeks in the NFC South? We don't see one. Not there. I don't think I even need to name the Super Bowl contenders for you. You can do it on your own. You are what your record says you are. Falcons have a winning record at 4-3. Okay, let's look at who they've beaten in those four games, shall we? They've beaten the Panthers. Okay, that's a division opponent. We've established the division's not that good. Panthers haven't beaten anybody. Falcons beat the Packers the next week by 1 point. Packers have looked really bad in recent weeks. They've lost at Las Vegas, got a bye, came off the bye, lost to Denver. I expected more from LaFleur and Love. It isn't happening. Falcons then put 6 points on the board against Detroit in one of many games Detroit has boat raced their opponent. I don't know, it's 26 a boat race. I mean, it's a comfortable win. Falcons then put 7 on the board at Jacksonville against the Jags. I believe that was the week after. Was that a London game? It was a London game. Yeah. That was the first of 2 London games for the Jaguars. So no travel advantage there for Jacksonville as they had against the Bills. Falcons then beat the Texans. That's actually, okay, let's call that a decent win just because the Texans are, they're competitive. They look better. They look competent. Their rookie quarterback, they're a pass-first offense. They do some things. D'Amico Ryans clearly has a plan in Houston. People are buying in. They were awful under loser Lovie Smith and before loser Lovie Smith when he was just the defensive coordinator. Kind of been awful since Bill O'Brien left. Falcons win that game by 2. Falcons lose to Commanders and then beat the Buccaneers by 3. Not an impressive win there. Can we all agree? Falcons have 4 wins. Most impressive win, beating the Texans. Okay, that doesn't do a lot for us. What about the Bucs at 3-3? I like what Ira Kaufman wrote in his post-game column for JoeBucksFan.com. 3-1 feels like it's way in the rearview mirror, and the Bucs are staring at 4 of their next 5 on the road. And the season could be getting away from them quickly, even in a bad division. So let's review. The Bucs win their opener at Minnesota. That was impressive. The Vikings are not impressive. Then the next week, Bucs come home, beat the Bears. What do the Bears got? Here's what the Bears got. Potentially the first and second pick in next year's draft. That's what the Bears got. Dare we say the Bears look better with a backup quarterback and a backup running back than they do with the number ones on the depth chart. Bucks then against the Eagles, no match. No match. Outclassed. Bucks bounce back, win at New Orleans. We'll get to the Saints, but it's division game. Bucks off a bye at home in the Creamsicles. Full crowd. Can't score a touchdown against the Lions. Outclassed. And then Bucks lose to Falcons within division. Don't look great doing it. One bomb to Mike Evans. That's it. That's your touchdown. For a run-first, run-based offense, still nothing going. Even though you got a right tackle who's playing pretty damn well after moving the previous great right tackle to left tackle. Some of us knew you didn't have a competent running back for a run-first offense coming into the season. But Jason Light's history with drafting running backs sucks. Why is Keyshawn Vaughn still earning a paycheck? because he understands blitz pickup, you're a running back. You need to be able to make plays. It's nice that you can pick up a blitz, but that's all you got? You got to do better than that. Saints 3-4. Saints open with a one-point win against the Titans in probably the worst game of week one. Anybody impressed by anything Titans-related other than when King Henry just goes off? Right? Titans don't have much going for them. They've been taking a step back every year. Saints then beat Carolina. Who doesn't? Saints lose to the Packers. We've already established Packers are a disappointment. Saints then lose at home big to the Buccaneers. Can't score a touchdown. Carr probably shouldn't have played hurt, but did. A lot of Taysom Hill in that game. Only way they can move the ball. I believe that was the game they got Kamara back, right? Three-game suspension. So they get Kamara back. Can't score a touchdown. Saints then blast the Patriots. Okay. Patriots at times this year have looked like one of the three or four worst teams in the league, including in that game. Saints lose to Texans and then lose to Jaguars. They did put up fight to make that a game against the Jaguars, but also what is coming to light, Derek Carr may be too open about when things don't go right and it looks like he's holding other people publicly accountable while he's saying and doing all the right things. You know, it's not like one of my favorite Eli stories was for people that talked about how, you know, Eli didn't have a lot of body language and Eli held people accountable, but he did it very subtly. I believe a wide receiver once said about Eli, if you drop a ball, you run the wrong route, you come back to the huddle, you don't want to look Eli in the face. Eli's not going to show you up. He's just going to give you that kind of eyeball, that shrug. Like, dude, what were you doing? And that's it. And it's over. Yeah, this is a new locker room for Carr, for Derek Carr. Look, I wasn't that impressed by the signing anyway. Everybody overpays for quarterbacks, but you didn't have to be in this quarterback market. Even if you were New Orleans, you didn't have to be in this quarterback market. You could have positioned yourself in the draft differently. You could have done something else. You felt this guy was going to make you a Super Bowl contender. And I disagreed with that. Because he seems limited. I think he's a slightly above average starting NFL quarterback for his career. We may have seen the best of him already with the Raiders. So that's the Saints' body of work. Carr can't get the ball down the field to Olave. He got a touchdown to Michael Thomas the other day. And then the Panthers, we talked about. Frank Reich has now lost 9 straight games as a head coach. He's given up play calling. Bryce Young doesn't look the part. They're trying to simplify things for him. Miles Sanders doesn't even look like the best running back anymore. Miles is criticizing the Panther fans for booing the team. Yeah, defensively, they return some good defensive players, but they're on the field so damn much that they're getting worn out, can't keep up. Adam Thielen's kind of the only good thing going, seemingly, in Carolina, in what looks like a lost season. There might need to be some major shuffling again, and Carolina doesn't have their number one pick next year. The Bears own it. Much like the Texans don't have their number one pick, but at least the Texans are moving forward. Carolina's probably going in the wrong direction. So what do we have in this division? This division has 10 wins among all members. One member has none. Of the Atlanta wins, the Buck wins, and the Saints wins, some against each other, right? So that's not impressive. Is the most impressive win that anybody has, Atlanta at home against Houston. Is that the most impressive one? We're 7 weeks into the season. And in this entire division, your best win is against a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach at home by two from your division champ. That's your best win. That's not good. Now, the Bucs can change all that on Thursday night going to Buffalo against the Bills. And the Bills are down. I like how Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, calls this the Jenga Tower, and it's wobbling. And the Bills have been, you know, I mentioned how the Titans have been taking steps back. They're bigger steps than the Bills, but the Bills have taken steps back the last couple years. A head coach with a defensive background is not the way to win a Super Bowl right now, and that's what the Bills have in Sean McDermott. He's lost Milano, heart and soul of that defense. Some other guys banged up. They're going to get Ed Oliver back. But they just allowed New England to put up, what, 29? After what New England hadn't done for nearly a month? And what do you have going on offense? You have, and this is from the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, you have the number one performer of producer of points in fantasy football the last 3 years and 7 weeks in Josh Allen. But what's your offense? It's a fair question. Since losing Dable, who earned the right to be a head coach by doing a great job for the Bills, what's the offense? You know, you can think about other teams and what they do and how they do it. And how they scheme you. And, you know, if you shut this guy down, then you have this guy. The Bills' offense just seems to be Allen and Diggs. I mean, Cook's had a few good games this year. But is it enough where opposing defensive coordinators are like, yeah, you know, we're going to have to commit more guys to the box against Cook? No. And Josh Allen is just so aggressive, trying to make big plays. And I know some of that mentality at some parts of the game is, well, if I throw into double or triple coverage inside the opponent's 20-yard line from 50 yards away, it's like a punt. Someone might have even put that in his head. But it still is a turnover. Maybe someone else was open for a gain of 8 that would have got you a first down. Ken Dorsey has done some wonderful things, both as a player at the University of Miami, the last time Miami won anything, national championship quarterback. Then I believe you worked at the IMG Academy, helped get the most out of Cam Newton. God, if you can get Cam Newton to pay attention to you, you clearly can do something. But what is the Dorsey offense? What is the plan here? It kind of looks like is Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, and we'll give other people chances. I mean, the fact that Gabe Davis goes up and down as much as he does, that you know Dalton Kincaid hasn't really found his groove the way, say, a Laporta has for Detroit. Cook's games are up and down. What's the offense with a franchise quarterback like Josh Allen and a big-time wide receiver like Diggs? I mean, it's I don't know what you got. And too often, it just doesn't look like it's going to work. So, didn't mean to get off on Buffalo there, but not saying the Bucs saved their season with a win at Buffalo. But it would be a signature win, and this division doesn't have one through 7 weeks. The best win this division has is a 2-point home win against a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach from Houston. That's just trying to build something from the ground up. It's not good. Now, look, the NFC North isn't much better. You could lop off the Vikings, Packers, and Bears with the NFC South. And those seven teams are really bad. The Lions at least give the NFC North a legitimate division champion. And I know you're going to fall back on, just like last year, someone needs to make the playoffs. Someone's going to make the playoffs from the NFC South. Right now, not going to matter because they're going to get killed in the first round at home by whoever doesn't win the NFC East, Eagles, Cowboys, just like last year when the Cowboys came into Tampa Bay and sent Tom Brady into retirement. The same scenario exists this year, unless something changes in the next 10 weeks for one of these top three teams. And top sounds like a bad word, but Carolina's not in this. Three teams in the NFC South. A great friend of mine said, when I texted him about the Falcons-Bucks game being a game of who wants it less, my friend said, two teams with head coaches and quarterbacks that shouldn't be head coaches and starting quarterbacks. I can kind of say that about all four. And I know Carr has been a starting quarterback, but that's why I wasn't gaga about him in free agency, nor when the Saints signed him. The Todd Wright Toddcast, presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. Email me at right.todd@yahoo.com. Please listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast separately. And if you play in Survivor or Eliminator Leagues and you're still alive through week 7, presumably because you had Seattle, as I predicted about 60% or more would in most Survivor Leagues, you are playing in week 8. Look for the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast separately as well. Thanks for listening.